Hello, my friends. It's Monday, March 24th, 2025, and I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, your Red State refugee. And welcome to the Radical Russ Show, coming to you from Rolla J Studios in my undisclosed mountain hideaway in the beautiful state of Jefferson region of Southern Oregon. We've got a great program for you today, the theme of which is local grassroots protests. All sorts of protests popping up around this country, and I'll tell you about a couple from my neck of the woods. First of all, we've got to look at some protests that self-organized in front of the Fox Radio affiliate in Grants Pass, Oregon, to protest Oregon's lone GOP congressman Cliff Bentz from the 2nd District, who refuses to hold a town hall meeting in the most populous area of his district. So I've got audio from the protest that I stopped by to see on Saturday morning. Then we're going to take a look at what's going on with our leadership on the Republican and Democratic side. On the Democratic side, we've got Chuck Schumer once again hitting the Sunday talk show circuit to try to defend his outrageous betrayal of the House Democrats, his flip-flop on supporting the continuing resolution that empowers Musk and Doge. Also, we've got clips from Tom Holman, the human thumb that's running ICE, and his failure to understand what makes America great. What really makes us great is being a country of laws, where no man is above the law, except for the orange ones. So we got some clips about that, and we'll talk about the failure of Chuck Schumer to understand it's time for him to go. Then I got a little segment to talk about an act that happened this weekend in my social media feed, where I kind of got accused of, being racist. I'm not exactly sure how to take it, but we'll talk about Barack Obama, Kamala Harris, and the idea of emotional labor in trying to point out that we're being taken over by fascism and maybe do something about it. We'll get some pro and cons on that. In our regular Boycott Idaho segment, I actually don't feel like boycotting Idaho today. I have some good news coming out of Idaho. It has to do with Sarah Imana, the teacher in the West Ada School District, who refuses to take down the Everyone is Welcome sign, leading to today being declared Everyone is Welcome Day in the state of Idaho. I've got all the details for you coming up. And then at the end of the show, we're going to take a look at the problem with young white men. The polls are showing that young white men are diverging so greatly from young women in the same cohort, being ultra MAGA. What is it with the conservatism of Generation Z white boys? Well, as a former white boy myself, maybe I've got a few perspectives on this. All that's coming up today on The Radical Russ Show. Thanks for joining us. Remember, you can call and leave your messages of comment at our phone line, 877-RUSS-420. That's 877-RUSS-420, or if you like numbers, 877-877-420. You can also send me an email, radicalruss@gmail.com, or find me on Blue Sky at radicalruss.com. We'll start our program today by focusing our attention on Oregon's lone GOP congressman and literally lone congressman. There are 6 districts in the state of Oregon. 5 of them are Democratic and represented by women. One of them is Republican and represented by this dude, Cliff Bentz. It's Oregon's 2nd district, and it's the geographically largest district in the state of Oregon, encompassing the entire eastern side of the state, you know, the part that wants to be part of Idaho now, and the southern Oregon portion, the state of Jefferson region that I live in. So this is my congressman that we're talking about here, and he's actually one of the few that is out holding, well, he was one of the few who is out holding town hall meetings. He's had town hall meetings on the eastern side of the state in places like LeGrand, Baker City, Boardman, and Pendleton, and these are some relatively small towns, and that's why these town halls have gotten rather heated for Republican Cliff Bentz, because the eastern and southern portions of the state, there's a lot of federal land out there, a lot of federal jobs, and being rural areas, the incomes are much lower. There's a much greater proportion of Oregonians that are living on SSI, on Social Security income, the disability payments, food stamps, all of these things that are being taken to with a hacksaw by Elon Musk and the Doge boys. So the turnout to Cliff Bence's town halls back in February when he was holding them was about five times the usual turnout. And despite the fact that he's out there in eastern Oregon, he is getting some pretty tough questioning from a very Republican crowd.
If you feel as strongly as it appears you do, and so I'm just saying that you have remedies. You also have the safety nets that you're taking advantage of. Now, if we want to continue to be able to afford those safety nets, we're going to have to figure out how in the world to shrink government. So while you're sharing with me your thinking as you did, where was your thoughts on how to reduce our spending? Not to raise taxes, but how to reduce our spending.
Raise taxes!
If you have an idea on reducing the spending, share it with me by email. Thank you so much.
That's Oregon's Representative Cliff Bence at a town hall meeting in Pendleton, Oregon, last month, where a questioner's asking about the potential cuts to her Social Security benefits, and his response is, well, what are you going to do to cut spending? As if that's her job, and as if that's needed. Love hearing the people respond, tax the rich. What a simple idea. It didn't go any better for Cliff Bence when he tried to do a town hall meeting in La Grande, Oregon.
That's unconstitutional, and you're just rolling over, you're okay with that?
Well, what I would say is that the president is doing what most presidents do, and they issue executive orders to try to make things. And what will happen, and has already happened, is these issues will be challenged in court, and if they're legal, they will be approved, and if they're not, they will be suspended.
So Cliff Bence was really getting an earful from his constituents when he's trying to hold town hall meetings in eastern Oregon. I can't emphasize enough how rural and white and Christian and conservative and Republican and MAGA this area of the country is. We're talking long stretches of vast, bleak starkitude where you're more likely to see a cow than a human being. We're talking about places where you leave the town and there's signs that say last gas for hundreds of miles. This is a very empty part of the United States. And for people to be packing the halls in Pendleton and La Grande and Boardman, these places, these smaller towns, you can only imagine what a town hall meeting would be like here in southern Oregon, the most populous area of Cliff Bence's second congressional district, and the city of Medford, the largest city in that area. But Cliff Bence has been doggedly refusing to hold town hall meetings in our area. That's where we come to this weekend. Now, as you know, I am a hobbyist podcaster, which means I do gig apps for a living. I drive Uber, I drive DoorDash, I drive Instacart. So I was out on Saturday morning driving around my typical routes, picking up people and taking food to various places, when I'm driving down the Rogue River Highway, US 99, and on the Rogue River Highway, there are the radio station studios for KJO and a couple of other stations, but they're all basically the right-wing AM, FM talk radio stations, the Fox News type of stations that carry Sean Hannity and the like. So, as I'm driving by, I see a group of protesters outside, and their signs are kind of handmade and small. I can't read them very well, but I can see one of them says Project 2025 and has a slash through it. So I'm like, oh, they're protesters on kind of my side. Okay, I wonder what's going on. So I finished my delivery, and when I came back around down the road, I pulled over and approached the folks to find out what was going on.
Radical Russ here on the Rogue River Highway, US 99 in Grants Pass, Oregon. I was driving by here on a Saturday. The station, Grant Pass Broadcasting, is KJO Radio, KLDR Radio, and there's a group of about, oh, I don't know, a dozen people here that are gathered because our local representative is here giving a radio interview. They're directly outside with a bullhorn because he won't hold a town hall meeting. So I'm just going to do a little recording here, see what we can get.
He did receive the normal response when you do something.
Who is the representative?
Not consistent with
Representative
proper form.
Bence, Cliff Bence, that's right.
That kind of.
All right. We got some signs out here, no Project 2025, no Felon 47. Another lady back here has a sign that says, you work for us. This is folks coming out demanding a town hall meeting. This is amazing. Right here in Grants Pass.
No cuts to the VA! Protect Social Security! Here is your message, Representative Bence. Hold a town hall in your most populated area of your entire district. messages. But when you run from us and hide from us, how can we possibly share them with you?
Yeah, kudos to
Oh boy, they're right outside the windows of the studio, and I don't know how well insulated that studio is or whether or not he can hear, but this is fantastic.
I made my way past the young lady with the bullhorn to visit with some of the protesters, all of whom were well into their 60s.
They only found out late last night. That's what they do.
Oh, so they kind of hid the fact that he was going to be.
He even does that with his town hall.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
all right.
That's what they do. That's
and
what
he
they
said
do.
It was because he didn't want to be yelled at because, what did he call it? The meta scare that Democrats are trying to, even though Trump has said he won't cut Social Security or Medicare, Musk is out saying this is a Ponzi scheme.
He's going to do it.
So much fraud, and Trump isn't in control right now.
They've already cut all of the, they're cutting the offices, and then people who have to do business go have to go and show their ID at an office.
Yeah. To go to the
but
office.
There is no office. It's the catch-22.
That's their way of saying, we're not
they got rid of the phone lines and stuff, so how do you...
Yeah, about 40% of seniors get their Social Security handled by the phone.
Exactly.
And so their solution is, let's have an 80 or 90 year old person log on somewhere.
Yes.
I used to teach IT to seniors.
I did too.
Uh-uh.
No. Not gonna happen.
Not happening.
Yeah. I know.
So it was about a dozen people out protesting, having only gotten the word at around 6 in the morning on a Saturday. And this was about 10:30 in the morning that we were out there for the protest. So a dozen people were willing to get up, scramble on a Saturday to get out there, to stand out on the sidewalk in the cold, wet, southern Oregon weather, to yell at in a bullhorn through the windows of a radio station where their congressional representative is doing an interview because he refuses to hold a town hall meeting. This is the kind of grassroots activism that is starting to happen in the absence of leadership from the Democratic Party. People are just putting it together themselves. Groups like Indivisible and Move On are self-organizing these things to try to get the word of the people to their representatives that refuse to talk to them. And this is a very, again, Republican area, though the people I were speaking to there were mainly Democrats. This is a very Republican area of the state. So the protest continues. We got to talk a little bit more about how these people all got together.
Well, this is great. Are you guys all part of an organized group? Just concerned citizens?
No, we just all met each other today. I said, good morning, smart
Vanessa
people.
Vanessa used to work for the city council. She sent me a message, but it was at midnight. I read it at 6 this morning, and I handle social media for Rogue Indivisible and the Dems, and I... was just scrambling to get the word out and emailing people and getting here on time. So.
Well, I'm glad you're all out here doing it. Caught my eye.
Just
and
do it.
Nice to see protests happening in Red Oregon.
It reminds me of the 60s.
Yeah, yeah.
We did this in the 60s and we changed the generation.
Yeah, I was like, you know, one. But up there.
Yeah. Yeah. We're out there
we're
marching.
Old. That's why I think it's so funny they're scared. There's only one pretty much young person.
Yeah.
We're all in our Social Security recipients.
Yeah, yeah, my partner is a SSI.
Me too.
Disability.
And you get less than $1,000 to live on.
I think she's getting $1,200.
Really? No, I thought it was always the same across the board.
Yeah, it's definitely not enough to live on alone.
No, and now with the housing market growing.
Everything's going on.
And I'm out here doing Ubers and DoorDashers and Instacarts. The last thing I need is a bunch of Social Security people coming out and taking my jobs. I don't need a bunch of seniors running around with their Instacart trying to get out of my way.
Can I lift that?
You're pretty
no,
safe.
I can't
that's about savvy.
The only job we could get because they don't hire old people.
No.
I'm 57 and I can't get hired. I can't imagine trying to get a job at 65
or 70. I was a technical illustrator.
Okay.
After I turned 55, I got laid off. I could ever get hired?
Yeah, yeah.
No, I was good at what I did, but everybody got hired.
Yeah, the same people that want to raise the Social Security age to 70 are the ones who won't hire you after 50.
No,
right.
How did that work?
Protests continued as Cliff Bentz continued his interview on the Fox affiliate here in Grants Pass, Oregon. They were all just waiting for the interview to conclude so they could confront him as he leaves the station. So I continued speaking with some of the attendees at the protest.
And in so many areas, like I'm reading about the defense minister of Denmark talking about we're going to cancel our orders for the F-35 planes because we don't know you ain't got a kill switch in there.
Exactly.
The American defense industry going to go to hell because of all these and losing all their...
I heard the United States
share secrets
with us. Why would they? If I want to come to America, I'm a foreigner. You might pick me up off the street for having a drink and take me to Venezuela.
Because they don't like our protests.
It's, you know... I can see the rest of the world giving us a mulligan for the first time we elected Trump. But the second time, it's like, fool me once, shame on you.
No, they're giving travel warnings.
Yeah.
I saw two countries, Germany and Britain, the UK.
Yeah.
Be careful.
They were like,
going to the United States,
you might disappear. There's one woman who crossed she's from the UK. She crossed the... She had a visa. And she was hiking across the border into Canada, and apparently the visa she had for there wasn't correct. And they sent her back, and she has disappeared from the UK.
They pulled a Navalny, that's what I said. They pulled a Navalny on her. Well, that's scary.
My thanks to Vanessa and the folks behind Indivisible there in Southern Oregon and the citizens who showed up on the streets of Grants Pass to protest Oregon's lone GOP congressman, Cliff Bentz.
And I know I've seen your staff out there wandering back and forth, and I don't know what kind of time schedule you have, but you tell me if you need to go. Probably about 4 minutes, about 2 more minutes. All right, let's talk about what's going to be happening in Oregon in terms of the reductions. I'm concerned about wildfire protection right now with BLM and the Forest Service. What's the status there? Do you know? Right, so we have been told when we have asked if this...
Chuck Schumer is out on the Sunday shows, continuing to try to bail himself out from the debacle of betraying the House Democrats and voting for the continuing resolution that gave Doge and Musk all the blank check they need to go throughout our federal government to lay waste, to destroy, to pillage, to pilfer. Of course, Chuck's been trying to defend himself, saying it'd be far worse if we let there be a government shutdown, because then only Trump could decide who could come back and et cetera, et cetera. But as Nancy Pelosi noted, Chuck went and gave away the store and didn't get anything in return. Been listening to a lot of the podcasts and shows that have been roasting Chuck Schumer and all the news reports that have been calling for his resignation. And understand, folks, that when we're calling for Chuck Schumer's resignation, it's not from the Senate. Right? We just want him to resign as being the Senate minority leader at this point. It would be a bit of a pay cut. He'd go down from like $193,000 a year to $174,000 a year. Be like a 10% pay cut for a guy who's worth what? Net worth $2 million last I looked? Not a good look, Chuck, that you wouldn't take a small pay cut to get out of the way and let the younger voices rise to the top in this party. But he's been out on the Sunday shows. He was out on Meet the Press describing his plan to allow Trump to just become so bad, the good Republicans will come back to us and help us out.
Our plan, which we're united on, is to make Donald Trump the quickest lame duck in modern history by showing how bad his policies are. He represents the oligarchs, as I said. He's hurting average people in every way. And we are, through oversight hearings, we're exposing what he's doing. Through the courts, which I mentioned, we've had some real success in. Through legislation and through organizing in all the districts throughout the country. So that I believe that when, the Republicans are already nervous, you know, a lot of them said don't hold town hall meetings. I believe by 2026, the Republicans in the House and Senate will feel like they're rats on a sinking ship because we have so gone after Trump and all the horrible things he's doing, and they will know it, see it, hate it, and act on it.
The good Republicans, lame duck. He's going to make Trump the quickest lame duck. Well, first of all, at least according to the Constitution, the way it's written right now and the way it's been interpreted up until now, he's already a lame duck. He's already in his second term. That is a lame duck term. And this idea that, he's going to be so awful
He'd be so awful that they'll realize that they're rats on a sinking ship. Oh, you mean like January 6th? Like January 6th, when they were literally attacking the Capitol. And Republican congressmen were calling Trump, trying to get him to stop the attack. And he never did. It got to the point where they're running Tom Cotton out. The famous video of Tom Cotton running for his life. They're hiding, getting their gas masks on in the House chamber for fear that the MAGA hordes were going to attack them. And they still stand by him. What bad thing you think is going to happen, Chuck, that's going to be worse than that? They are with Trump. They are all in. They are ride or die. This idea we're going to keep waiting for the Republicans to come to their senses before we do anything. Let his approval numbers drop into the 30s. Not a really good plan when the approval numbers for the Democratic Party are at 27. You're going to have to get lower than 30. Democrats right now are underwater with their own voters. Yeah, there was 49% approval for the party in the last poll, and in the most recent poll, it's down to 40. They're like 9 points underwater with their own voters. But this seniority, the power structure, they just can't make a change. They just can't get out of the mores and the norms that they've been used to. And I keep telling you, it's this class of Democrats from the Congress that was in 1981 that had to serve during those first couple of terms of Ronald Reagan. I swear they've got PTSD. They've just got this mistaken understanding of what this country is all about. Chuck Schumer is clearly not the leader for our time. And the idea that we're just going to keep waiting while people are extraordinarily renditioned out to El Salvador prisons, that these gulags, these work camps, these concentration camps that are happening, that we're just going to continue to watch as our allies issue travel advisories to not come to the United States of America for fear you're going to get disappeared, that our allies are canceling their contracts with our defense contractors because they don't know that we might not betray them in the future. We are isolating ourselves on the world stage. But yeah, those Republicans, they're going to come around any minute now, Chuck. While people are dying, while people are starving, while people are getting kicked out of their houses, while people are getting extraordinarily renditioned, kidnapped, disappeared to El Salvadorian prisons on the mere suspicion that they might be part of TDA, Tren de Aragua. Tren de Aragua. I'm finally getting the pronunciation of that right. TDA. In fact, we had Tom Holman, the human thumb that's in charge of the Gestapo or the SS or what's it called? Oh, yeah, ICE. Yeah. The guy who's in charge of ICE was on Meet the Press trying to defend their actions in removing people from this country with no due process, with no warrants, just on ICE's assumption that they're members of some violent gang, and shipped down to these, to this El Salvadorian prison against judges' orders, against the orders of the court. And we're finding that many of these people have no connection to gangs whatsoever. I was reading the report of the one man who's a gay barber, a gay hairstylist, who couldn't understand why he was there, getting his head shaved, being thrown into the El Salvadorian prison. Other guy who is a soccer player who had a tattoo of a Real Madrid logo on his arm, and they thought that was some sort of gang affiliation tattoo. In you go. You know what they're doing with this this rendition, with this capturing of these migrants, is just what they're doing in Doge when they're removing the DEI purge. They're just going into their artificial intelligence and typing in gay, and anything gay we get rid of. They type in black, anything black we get rid of. And then if someone complains later, oh, hey, you got rid of Jackie Robinson, you got rid of the Enola Gay, oh, we'll put that back up. But all the rest of the black and gay stuff, that's gone. They're doing the same thing with human beings now. That's what they're doing with these human beings, Venezuelan migrants. Well, control F, Venezuela and tattoos, round them up, send them to El Salvador, and then, oh, you were a soccer player? Oh, you're a hairdresser? Maybe we'll let you come back. God, I hope they let him come back. But no due process for any of these people, and Jonathan, is it Carl? The guy who's running Meet the Press now? Anyway, on Meet the Press, he's asking Tom Holman about these folks and their lack of due process.
Due process. What was Lake and Ronnie's due process? Where were all these young women that were killed and raped by members of TDA? Where was their due process?
Well, the people that did that should be prosecuted.
How about the young lady that burned alive on the subway? Where's her due process?
Well,
the bottom line is that plane was full of people designated as terrorists, number one. Number two, every Venezuelan migrant on that flight was a TDA member based on numerous criminal investigations, on intelligence reports, and a lot of work by ICE officers.
Yeah, okay, so Lake and Riley, the woman who was killed by a TDA gang member, she didn't have any due process, yeah. And all those women who were raped and murdered by TDA gang members, they didn't have any due process either. So I guess the answer then is for us to act just like them. I guess the answer is for us to sink to the level of a violent terrorist gang and give no due process to our enemies either. That's what these people think. That's where they want our country to be. We are giving up so much of the moral high ground in the world right now by being this country that gives up on due process, gives up on constitutional rights. If they're terrible people, go ahead and take them to court. Get them convicted of the terrible things they did, and then go ahead and put them in prison. Not a prison in El Salvador. I don't see why we can't house people in the many prisons we've got here in the United States. We are the world's largest jailer, both per capita and just overall. We got 4% of the world's population and 20% of the world's prisoners. I think we could make room for a few TDA gang members. But no, they don't want due process. They don't want courts looking at stuff. They pressed them on where's your evidence? Well, we had, you know, numerous intelligence reports and, you know, ICE agents working on this round the clock. And okay, show your work. Show it to a judge. They know they can't. They don't want to. The terrorizing of the populace is the point. The breaking of the law is the point. It's to make us feel helpless, to make it feel like they are invincible. They can do anything. There is no break. There is no stop. There is nothing that can get in their way. And judging from the leadership of Chuck Schumer, they're right. This weekend on my Blue Sky social media account, I got added to a moderation list. And for those of you who aren't on social media, a moderation list is one that is just a collection of accounts that you can either follow or block based on a certain standard that's set up by whoever makes a list. So you could have, you know, list of Cubs fans or list of idiot politicians or whatever, right? So I was added to this moderation list that had something to do with something called emotional labor or... But basically, the gist of it was, this is a list of people who are demanding emotional labor from black folks like Obama without putting in the emotional labor themselves. I struggled to figure out why I was getting this, and I kind of looked back through my posting, and I figured it had to do with my talks on the podcast or my posts having to do with calling on Barack Obama to speak out about what's going on with the destruction of our democracy. I think I asked, you know, where is Barack Obama? But I think it's fair to point out that as I've been asking this, I've been asking where all of the Democratic presidents and former presidential candidates have been. Not just Barack Obama. I want Biden. I want Obama, Harris, Gore, Kerry, Hillary Clinton. Bill Clinton can stay home. But I want the other six of them out there defending our democracy, standing up and putting some leadership into the Democratic Party. But no, it seems like... It just feels like there's this tradition. There's this tradition that you serve as president or you run for president, and then afterwards, if you win or you lose, if you win, you serve, and then after you're out of office, or if you lose, you just disappear. Bye-bye. Oh, well, we'll see George W. Bush occasionally with a painting. Barack Obama will pop up yesterday to celebrate the passage of the Affordable Care Act. Kamala Harris will go, you know, thank some firefighters somewhere. Hillary Clinton's got a book tour going on, I suppose. But nobody wants to stand up because it's just, well, it's a tradition. We don't interfere in politics after we've been president or run for president. We stay on the sidelines and let the current president, we don't want to interfere in the current president. This is no time for tradition. This is time for break glass in case of emergency. And I think what's so galling about it is the fact that the guy we're fighting about, Donald Trump, didn't follow that tradition. He served as president, lost his election, held an insurrection, attacked the Capitol for the first time, did not participate in the peaceful transfer of power. He has done everything to flout every tradition, norm, rule, law, and regulation. And now he's president again. He stayed. He stayed in the public view. He continued to lead his party. He continued to be a focal point for those who follow him to continue their activism, to continue their interests, and again, re-elect him into the presidency of the United States. So the tradition has already been broken, and to continue to fight within the confines of tradition is going to be to continue to lose. I'm not asking Barack Obama to do anything that I wouldn't do myself. Hell, I'm getting up every morning to talk to you, to talk to anyone who will listen about the need to save our democracy. I think I could expect a little bit of that from the 44th president, maybe, or any of the others that came before. That's part of what the feeling is that the Democratic Party doesn't believe its shit. Doesn't really believe it. Oh, well, I tried out for the job. I didn't get the job. Oh, well, off to my next job. That it's not really a passion. That you don't have any deep, deep abiding love for this country and its systems. This is the time when we need leadership, elder statesmen in the party. And so far, the only one of the former candidates or office holders that's stepping up is Tim Walz, governor of Minnesota, which, because in my mind, I believe he believes his shit. He believes in feeding kids and helping people and boosting the economy for the poor among us. And it also reveals to me something that happens on the left quite a bit. And that is this automatic assumption of bad faith from people in minority communities when it comes to white folks trying to join the fight. That's what I felt when I got that whole list thing of the Barack Obama thing. Oh, see, here's another white guy calling on black people to carry all the load. And maybe that's true for some people. I can understand why some people might jump to that conclusion. But take a look at my record. Take a look at my history. I served this country in the National Guard. I believe in the hope of this country. And I believe that what makes this country great are all the people who have been fighting to make it live up to the standards that were first proclaimed in the 1700s, that all men are created equal. And justice for all. To keep further defining all as all of us. Everyone is welcome. Talk about that in our next segment. So no, I'm not calling on Barack Obama or Kamala Harris or anyone to do anything I wouldn't call on also the white politicians Hillary Clinton and Al Gore to be doing. Where are they? Where is John Kerry? Now, the alternate take on this would be, maybe we don't want them out there. Maybe that's a bad idea. Because as I'm reading a lot of the post-mortems of the 2024 election, it seems to be that the overarching theme was a rejection of the status quo. A rejection of the status quo, that people aren't getting ahead, people see the country is on the wrong track, and they see Democrats as beholden to an old way of doing things. And sure, I can see that point. I can see that point. Maybe we don't want to have Joe Biden and Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton reminding us of, oh yeah, the neoliberal Democrats that couldn't get a $15 minimum wage past the Senate parliamentarian. The neoliberal Democrats that couldn't get public option past their own Joe Lieberman. The Senate Democrats who couldn't get rid of the filibuster that was blocking us from codifying Roe and doing all sorts of other things that would be great because they couldn't get past their own Joe Manchin and Kirsten Sinema, who kept telling us, we've got to keep the filibuster. You got to keep the filibuster. What might happen if we're in the minority someday and the Republicans try to do something awful? We got to have the filibuster. And then, of course, the Republicans are in the majority. They've done something awful. And Chuck Schumer gives up the filibuster. So maybe we don't want to be reminded of the elder statesmen in the Democratic Party. Maybe I was wrong. Maybe it's best that Barack Obama stay back in the sidelines. Kamala Harris, stay invisible. Al Gore, John Kerry, Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, go ahead, retire, jet ski, whatever it is you're going to do. Maybe it is time to turn our backs on them like they've turned their backs on us. Time for our regular segment on Boycott Idaho, why you should avoid the handmade state, and in particular, boycott the Idaho potato. There is no red state more associated with one single product than Idaho and the potato. But, you know, we're going to take a detour this time from Boycott Idaho because, I give Idaho a lot of crap, deservedly so, and I have the right to do so, having been born and raised there as a sixth-generation Idahoan. But there are still good people in Idaho that are trapped there for one reason or the other, or folks like my parents who just love the place despite its politics. And those folks deserve a shout out this week because of what's been happening in the organization around Everyone is Welcome Day. We've been telling you this story in the Boycott Audio Idaho segment of Sarah Imana, the teacher in the West Ada School District in Meridian, Idaho, sixth grade teacher who'd put up a sign that said, "Everyone is welcome," in her school classroom. The "Everyone is welcome" sign just has the words "Everyone is welcome" with some hands below it of differing colors, white hands, brown hands, beige hands, black hands, with little hearts in them. Everyone is welcome, something you'd expect to see in a sixth grade classroom. But she was told by the school district that she had to take those posters down because they violated the state's anti-DEI policies, that they were too political in nature. And in fact, the head of curriculum there even told her, went so far as to say the quiet part out loud, that the words "everyone is welcome" aren't the problem. It's the black, brown, and white hands, that could be considered a political statement. What does this guy think "everyone is welcome" means, if not everyone? And that's pretty much what people have been responding in Idaho in their protests here, saying that "everyone is welcome" is not a political message. And the teacher, Sarah Imana, even said the only possible other interpretation is racist. So there's been some activism happening. I spoke to my mom this week about it, and she told me that there's volunteers that are putting together T-shirts that have the "Everyone is Welcome" sign on them. And at last count, they had printed over 12,000 of these T-shirts. They cannot keep up with demand. So there's been a couple of events planned, and one of them happened yesterday. On Sunday, volunteers in Boise went out to the West Ada School District offices and chalked up their sidewalks full of the message, "Everyone is welcome." They even interviewed one of the moms and one of the students who was behind the protest.
"We want to prove to West Ada that we are not the only ones that feel this way, that we are not a small minority of people that feel this way, that we are a large majority that feel as if the statement 'everyone is welcome' is not political, nor should the existence of people be political. Because if you look down at yourself, every single person will see a skin color. That is in no way political because it applies to everyone."
"And I think that these people need to be told really, really clearly how wrong they are when they say that she needed to take that down, because that's not a world I want to live in."
The weekend event chalking the sidewalks in front of the West Ada School District offices comes on the heels of a protest walkout by students at Renaissance High School in Meridian, Idaho, in the same West Ada School District. The students gathered outside of the offices, chanted, protested, and gave speeches.
Everybody deserves here to also feel welcome.
Yeah. Who's welcome,
welcome
here?
Everyone is welcome here.
When we're able to make our education more diverse, we make people feel more welcome. I'm very glad to be here in protest of this censorship. And I will always be fighting for the side of diversity, for the side of inclusivity.
This groundswell of activism in Idaho is culminating today on what they're calling Everyone is Welcome Day. They've got all these t-shirts printed out, over 12,000 of them. They're encouraging everyone to wear them today, including the students in the West Ada School District, who are all coming back to school today on Monday. We'll keep you posted on the developments as they continue in Idaho, but I gotta tell you, Idaho messed up here. The West Ada School District really messed up here. This is what they call the Streisand effect on the internet. When you tell people they can't do something, it makes them want to do that even more. Trying to get this teacher to take down the Everyone is Welcome poster was the biggest self-own in Idaho academics that I can remember in my entire history of having grown up and gone to school there. This has brought more attention to the state, and I don't know how these officials are going to backpedal their way out of this. They've got the ultimatum to the teacher telling her she needs to come up with a new poster by the end of the school district, but there's never a "or what" that I've heard in any of the reports. To think that they would try to fire her after all this national attention seems a little far-fetched. So good for Sarah Inama for sticking to her guns. Good for the kids and the parents in the West Ada School District who are standing up to this hate. And who knows, if they're successful, maybe we'll have to lift this boycott. Democrats have a young white male problem. When we looked at the election results, you look at Gen Z white voters, the young white men, voted 67% for Donald Trump over Kamala Harris. And we get a similar number for millennial white men, 67% for Trump over Kamala Harris. And some people out there are quick to dismiss these kind of things as just simple racism. Oh, they just couldn't vote for a black person, or sexism. They just couldn't vote for a woman. But I really think that's way too reductive and simple an explanation. I think that we need to look at some of the factors that are affecting young white guys in this country right now. I was taking a look at a Scientific American article. It's entitled "Why Gen Z Men Voted for Trump." And in it, there's this paragraph that I just want to read you. "At the core of all this, I believe, is the antiquated misperception that men must be powerful, breadwinning protectors in their family and broader society. This notion is called hegemonic masculinity. An endorsement of this belief set was the strongest predictor of support for Trump in 2016 and 2020, stronger than voters' political party affiliation, gender, race, or education." In other words, people that have been brought up in the old school macho man, you got to be the breadwinner, that type of masculinity, brought up in that sort of environment, was the best predictor that they would vote for Donald Trump in 2016 or 2020, and I'm assuming probably 2024 as well. So it's this pressure, this relentless pressure that these guys feel in an economy that's not allowing them to be the breadwinners. In an economy where one out of five young men, young white men, is unemployed, and where they're seeing young women exceed their achievements in college. We have more women college graduates now. And I think a part of this, too, is just a feeling that as a white guy, as a young white guy, you're the default and no one has your back. It's all up to you to go out and make it in the world, and the fact that you're not making it in the world, it's all your fault and nobody cares. And I bring this up because I made a post on Blue Sky about this. I noted that if you're a young white guy and something terrible happens to you, let's say you're a young white guy and the cops pulled you over and they roughed you up, who's got your back? Who are you going to call? Because, you know, when it's a young black guy that gets beat up by the cops, Benjamin Crump is right there. NAACP is right there. Al Sharpton is right there. I can name group after group for just about every minority out there in the country. NAACP, GLAD, HRC, NOW, CARE, AARP for us old folks. Who's the group that stands for young white men? And when I posted that, I got responses. Oh, boy, did I get responses. I got responses like, well, there are plenty of groups of those young white men. You just can't tell from under their hoods. Right. And that kind of makes my point. The only group you can name that you can think of that focuses on young white guys is the Proud Boys or the Klan or some neo-Nazi thing. So what's a young white guy to think when every other group out there has some group that's got their back, some nonprofit that will have a team of pro bono lawyers ready to go? But that doesn't exist for the white guy. Or think about scholarships. You might get scholarships to get, you know, have young white men do better in school, right? But you can't make a scholarship for just young white guys. Can you imagine the scholarship? We only accept white people. I mean, there is one out there. I looked it up. Milo Yiannopoulos. You remember that guy, the right winger? Yeah, he's got one for just white people. But if you suggest that in an honest sense, people will, again, white power. It's all about white power. We can't focus exclusively on white kids. Anything that's going to help young white guys has to be something that helps everybody. Can't be focused on just young white guys, but we can have all sorts of focused scholarships for young black guys. We got historically black colleges and universities. We've got all sorts of things in that respect. And I'm not saying we shouldn't have those, and I'm not ignorant of what led them to exist. Of course, black people have had it worse. That was the other comment I got back from people, too. Was, you know, what about these poor white guys? And this one commenter said, what, is the majority control of governments and business and laws of most Western nations not enough? That's the response we get. That's all these just Well, look, if you're an 18-year-old white guy out there, you're nowhere near control of government or business or laws. Yeah, sure, old 50-something white guys like me, yeah, we got it made, right? But you can't complain about it if you're a young white guy. Oh, no, because you've got privilege. You've got white privilege. You're so privileged, Mr. Unemployed White Guy, with a far higher suicide rate than your female peers. You can't complain. You're not allowed to complain because then, oh, you're privileged and other races have it hard. Everybody else has it harder. Oh, you think you've got it bad. Hey, here's a pro tip on winning votes. If someone's out there suffering and complaining about it, telling them someone else has it worse and you should shut up and stop complaining isn't going to win you a lot of votes. So the thing about this, too, is that there's a feeling, I can only speak for the folks that I grew up around in the middle of the country in red districts, there's a feeling that the Democrats care about everybody else but you. That's why that Donald Trump ad, you saw that ad during the campaign, Kamala Harris is for they, them, Donald Trump is for you. It wasn't just the transphobia of that ad that hit. It wasn't just the transphobia, which obviously it was transphobic. But it spoke to a larger message. It spoke to a more meta message. And that message being that the Democrats care about they and them. They care about everybody else. Democrats will howl about the black kids, the Black Lives Matter. Democrats will howl about the immigrants. Democrats will howl about the treatment of the gay and the lesbians. Democrats will howl about the lack of women's rights. But guys, white guys, you're on your own. Go out there and be breadwinners and stop complaining because you're privileged. Gee, I wonder why they turned to Donald Trump. So and when there is a focus on white guys, it's about how shitty they are. Oh, the toxic masculinity. Oh, the toxic masculinity. The white fragility. Oh, you're so privileged. And meanwhile, all the educational, economic, and social opportunities are vanishing. No wonder when Trump comes along or Joe Rogan comes along or Andrew Tate comes along telling them that they're okay and they're actually really good and they can be great again. It's no wonder they fall for it. What are the Democrats offering in response? That's also part of why this DEI thing, the DEI purge, anytime the DEI or the CRT, why that resonates so well with white America. It's once again the feeling that, oh yeah, here we go. We're trying to find a way to help everyone but me. And they see it as a zero-sum game, too. Well, if they're helping them, they're not helping me. And if they're getting the jobs, then I'm not getting the jobs. And so the misguided misdirection of this is to play the colorblind game. That's what this DEI thing is, DEI purge. This is the way they see it on their side. It's kind of like the COVID thing, right? If we don't test for it, we won't know it's there, right? If we don't point out race or color or gender presentation, we won't know it's there. We'll just treat everyone equally by not recognizing any differences between them. That's where their heads are on this. They think specifically mentioning the race of someone or the gender of someone is specifically a way to exclude them, a way to separate from them, that we're not all in this together. Now, obviously, it's bullshit. The way they're going about it is bullshit. It's all about being white and delightsome and bringing it back to, you know, Christian white patriarchal heteronormativity, to throw a whole bunch of left-wing $8 words at you. And obviously, I'm not for it. I'm educated and enlightened on this, and welcome diversity, and everyone is welcome here, of course. But if we don't get into the heads of the people who can be changed on this, the people who are going along to get along, not the hardcore MAGA racist types, not the Proud Boy types, right? They're unreachable. But I can't believe it's all of them. I can't believe it's everyone out there. I've got so many relatives and friends back in Idaho who aren't political people, who don't know a policy from a polity. They have no idea what's going on with other than big, broad brushstrokes. But they're good people. And in their day-to-day interactions with others, they're not bigoted. So how come the bigotry and the racism isn't a deal breaker for them? How could they find a way to hold their nose? Some of my Christian relatives, like the born-again Christian types, voting for Trump, finding a way to hold their nose and vote for Trump. I think there's a way to get to them. I think we can get to them if we start focusing a bit on their problems. That's one of the things Trump did that was so brilliant, is he started to treat white people like Democrats treat everyone else, focusing on them as a group and what their needs are. And unfortunately, he does that to the detriment of everyone else's needs. I think we have a better plan. And I do support the plans that lift the rising tide that lifts the boats for everyone. Things like raising the minimum wage and such. But we need to find a way to be able to talk about the specific problems of young white men without it devolving into accusations of racism or disinclusion or bigotry. If we want to win any elections in the future, that is. All right, that's all the time we got for today's show. Thanks for joining us, and thanks to the protesters out there for allowing me to use your voice as an audio. Also wanted to mention use of some clips from KTVB and KIVI-TV in Boise, Idaho, and clips from Meet the Press, all used with fair use under our copyright laws. The Radical Russ Show is produced, directed, researched, written, recited, posted, and catered by me, Radical Russ Belville, and is governed by Creative Commons share-alike licensing. My main theme is We Love the Herb by Herbal Nation, and interstitial music is by freestockmusic.com and VTEMO, courtesy of freetouse.com/music. You can email me at radicalruss@gmail.com, call my message line at 877-RUSS-420, that's 877-877-420, and reach me on social media on Blue Sky as radicalruss.com. And nowhere else. You can support this podcast financially by donating to Radical Russ on Venmo, Rad Russ on Cash App, or via PayPal on my website at radicalrust.com.
Get this podcast on Spotify, Apple Music, my website, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and until next time, take care of each other.